Today is Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach. Am I mistaken? You have to be Yom Shlishi for Parshas B'Shalach. So everyone knows that there is a Messiah from Rav Menachem Mendel Milimanov. Rav Menachem Milimanov was the Baal Neufis. And he said that a person should say on Yom Shlishi or Parsh B'Shalach, Parshas Hamon, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechla Targum, and somehow, I don't know how, it'll be a skula for Parnassa. I have yet to hear the person that made it rich, that did well and attributed his success to saying the Parshas Hamon on Yom Shlishi Parshas B'Shalach. But yet, this is what his Messiah is. What?
It doesn't make you
rich. What does it make you do? Sameach B'Chalko. Oh, Ezeo Osher Hasameach B'Chalko. Excellent. So this is the Messiah from Rav Menachem Milimanov. So therefore everyone today is busy with Parashas Hamon, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechla Targum. But the truth is there's a much greater school for Parnassa, to be Sameach B'Chelko, and that is the Pasuk in Parashas Hamon, Baal HaTurim, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin, two Tezayins, Tezayin Tezayin, Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziva Hashem, Liktu Mimenu, Hashem gave the command you shall gather from the mon, Ish Rufi Ochlo, Omer Lagogolas, a measure per head, Mispar Nav Shosechem, Ish Lasher Bielo Tikochu. If you have 10 kids, so make sure you take 12 portions. One for your wife, and for your 10 children. If you have 2 children, take 4 portions. Each person should take according to the number of children that he has in his home. The Baal HaTurim on this Pasuk writes, this Pasuk, the Pasuk Zeyesh Alpha Besa, is the first Pasuk, the only 2 Pasukim in the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah, which have all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's this Pasuk in B'Shalach, and a Pasuk in Parshas V'Eschanan, it also has all the letters of the Aleph Beis, but this is the first Pasuk in Tanakh, for that matter, that has all the letters of the Aleph Beis, and it's in the Parsha of Mon. What is the message? So the Baal HaTurim says a very powerful message. Loi Malacha, the message is, Kol HaMekayim Es HaTorah, anyone that's Mekayim, that the 22 letters is a code for the Kiyum HaTorah. Anyone that the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis captures the whole Torah, and therefore anyone that is mekayim es haTorah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mazmin lo parnasaso b'loy Torah, Hashem provides you with parnasa without effort. I wouldn't know if that's the right word, loy Torah without tircha, kimo loichlei Haman. So certainly, if there is such a tradition that saying the Parshas Hamon on Yom Shlishi, Parshas B'Shalach, is a segula for Parnasa, al achas kama v'kama, it's even a greater segula for Parnasa to learn Torah every single day and to be mekayim what it says. So this is really the major
much
lesson.
Harder.
It's much harder. What do you much harder?
To, say
to learn, you're all sitting here. You're all sitting here in the koilo. It's much harder to come and when it's 5 degrees below zero to come to the koilo than it is to stay home and say the parsh saman shami v'chatargam. So Allah, and not only to come today, to come every day. So Allah has come v'kamo. The people sitting here have a very great zuchus in the parsh saman, and Hashem should bring them parnosa berevach. And you, and for all good things.
Okay. Could have lunch
in okay.
Okay. That is the first. That is the first part. Okay. Now there. Now I want to show with you a couple of things off the beaten track about the month. First thing. There is a sefer called the Ezer Eliyahu. Ezer Eliyahu, he looks at the mon in a very different light. Why do we have mon? Simply, we had mon because Hashem took us to the midbar. He took us out to the midbar. In the midbar, there's nothing. There's no vegetation, and we would have starved to death unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for our needs. The Ezer Eliyahu says, no, that's not so. We know from various midrashim that the Bnei Yisrael would buy different things from merchants that travel through the midbar. They bought clothing, they bought toys for their children, they bought supplies for the Beis HaMikdash. they needed wheat. They needed wheat to bring the lechem upon him. Lechem upon him, l'chor, you can't use mun to make the lechem upon him. They brought minochos, their korbanos. They had needs, and they were merchants that were traveling through the desert, and Klal Yisrael purchased their needs from these merchants. So it's not so far-fetched to say that Klal Yisrael could have survived 40 years in the desert by buying food, supplies from other neighboring countries that are passing through. So why was it necessary for Hashem to provide mun? So the Eitz Yisrael is suddenly off the beaten track. He says, you know why? Because mun does not produce waste. It's completely absorbed into your body. In the desert, in ancient times, when you don't appreciate this, it was sakonis nefashos to go to the Beis HaKiseh. They did not have a Beis HaKiseh like we are today. You would go out into the field. The Midbar is mole nechoshim v'akrovim. If people had to go out on a daily basis to the Beis HaKiseh, they would have been killed. They would have been bitten by snakes. They would have been injured. So therefore, in order, so he says the primary reason, totally shocking thing to say, this is what he says, the primary reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with man is in order to spare us the need to go to the Beis HaKiseh and put ourselves in a matzav of sakana, of the midbar, of the nechoshim v'akravim that are lurking out in the midbar. All different mahalach.
Where did they go to urinate? I understand.
I guess, there was nothing. There was no urination. Nothing. Zero. It was nivla be'ivarim. Nothing. Now this idea of the Eitz Eliyahu is not so simple. It's not so simple because his whole thesis is built on the premise that they could have secured things from the neighbors. The Ramban says the Farish that this, that Chazal tells, they bought different things from the neighbors. It was only the last year in the desert. For the first 39 years, nothing. Everything came from Hashem. They did not get anything from their neighbor, from the travelers. That was only the last year. It was like a transition of what life is going to be like when you come into Eretz Yisrael. You're still in the Midbar. You still have man. But you have to already experience what it's going to be like to come into a land of where you're going to work the land and what it's like to deal with Gashmias. That was a 1 year transition, but for 39 years they had nothing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to provide them with man because they would in any way not be able to find grain in the field.
Couldn't the miracle have been that they didn't have to eat?
Interesting idea. Moshe Rabbeinu did not eat for 40 days, nothing. Moshe went to Shemayim. So while you're asking a question, why didn't Hashem do a miracle in a different fashion? I don't know the answer. Good question. So once you did a miracle, so what's why this time? Okay, you're right. I don't know the answer.
They had to make a bracha.
We'll come down in a moment. What bracha do you make in a moment? We'll come down in a moment. Okay, another issue. Everything in the Torah. This is an interesting idea. This I saw in the Oitzah Haplius. Oitzah Haplius is a new sefer which has a collection of different interesting things which you don't find in other places. And he has this idea. It doesn't say he points out that the man is not purely miraculous. There are records, there is something out in the world called mun, where something which looks like wheat comes down in the morning, it's soft, it's not just dew, there is such a mitzias, we're not familiar with it, but there are records in ancient times that there is something that is very similar to what the Torah describes as mun, which is not a nace. It's something that's natural. It's something which comes in the morning, it sticks to rocks, sticks to wood, and if you peel it and you smear it, it tastes like cheese, it's soft. In different parts of the world, it has a different quality. Some places it's sweeter, it's softer. There does exist such a thing as way the Torah describes man that's not a nace, that is natural. This sheds light, this opens up a whole new understanding to exactly what is man. Now let me give you an example to illustrate this idea. There's something in the Torah called saras. What exactly is saras? So if you read the Chumash, it's a spiritual type of disease. There's a nega, a part of the skin, it turns white, and there's white hairs, and there's certain flesh, and it spreads, it gets shrinks. According to our tradition, it's purely a spiritual nega. But yet, saras is also commonly translated as leprosy. And it's a well-known disease. It's a documented disease. It's known by doctors. It's known what it is. It has very similar properties to the way the Torah describes, but not all. The way the Torah describes leprosy, tzaraas, is something which is purely spiritual, which you need the kohen, you don't need a doctor, and it's because of averos, and so on and so forth. But yet, how does that explain what we translate in English, or we know in the world, to be leprosy? So the answer the Farshim give is that it's zeh lumazeh. The derech of the Torah is, when it creates, and Hashem does miracles, Hashem doesn't just do a miracle that you can't relate to. Every miracle, every type of thing that the Torah does supernaturally has a parallel, a natural parallel. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Shimon Schwab, I don't remember who, but some of the Mepharshim learned that when the person got tzaras, that was in the Torah's type of tzaras, that was a stage 2 tzaras. A person would first develop a regular leprosy. He had leprosy, a skin disease. And if he did not take that as a siman hashamayim that he should do tshuva, that physical leprosy would turn into the Torah's tzaras, which was lamala miderech hateva. And there's a pasuk which seems to indicate this to be the case, because after it says the kohen will heal him from his tzaras, it goes on to say, and now you should go back v'nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua, which means after the spiritual leprosy leaves, this is the pasuk is mashma, I don't have the pasuk, is that the physical leprosy has to leave. In other words, what do we see from tzaras? The supernatural tzaras parallels the natural tzaras. Talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. We know in our own times there's something called a tsunami, and a tsunami very much resembles Kriyas Yamsuf. There's such a possibility, such a physical possibility, where suddenly the yam, a body of water, can dry up, and for a moment of time, when you're free to travel across, and then suddenly the water will come back. It can be explained in a natural way. Now, was Kriyas Yamsuf a natural tsunami? Now, 99% of the opinion will tell you, no, of course, that it's supernatural. But when the Torah comes to bring miracles, the miracles the Torah creates are things which we can relate to in the real world. If the Torah would do a miracle which we cannot relate to, then it's more difficult for the mind to absorb the significance of that miracle. The same thing is true when it comes to the mon. Maybe we don't have it today, maybe we're not familiar with it, but it's clear from the early Mepharshim that there was such a thing called mon that was not miraculous. But that mon did not have all of the miracles of this mon, where if you leave over, it becomes wormy, and every person that collected mon only collected exactly enough for his family, and the mon fell in relation to a person's righteousness, close and far. The mon that Hashem sent down to Klal Yisrael, the Midbar, was a miraculous mon. But it was something which Klal Yisrael couldn't relate to, because in that period of time, in the Midbar, there was a mitzias on a much, much lower, mundane, normal physical level called mon, which existed in the world. It did exist in the world to some degree. So just to bring out this idea, there's different types of tzaras, a physical tzaras, a supernatural tzaras. You can explain a Kriyas Yamsuf with a mitzias of a tsunami. The mon also has a parallel to a physical mon that existed in this world.
That's why the Gemara in Darshan makes a point of saying that we always remember the mitzias of tzaraim and all the miracles, but we do not focus on Maisa Bereishis. Because the human mind can't handle that.
So
there's no point in talking.
Very good.
About
so this supports this idea. All the miracles in the Torah you can find parallel in the physical world. Now, probably a lot of people don't like this avar. They want to look at the Torah as, you know, but the truth is there are definitely parallels. Yeah.
It seems that it's necessary to find things that resemble
right. These
miraculous things. Because Ein Kodosh Pachas Hashem. So that
even miracles
innovate
from
scratch. Right. There has to be some at least
precedent. Right. The miracles also, that's exactly the point. So the mon also, that's just, the mon also had some precedent. It's of course a spiritual mon, but there is some relationship to a physical mon that exists in the world. Now, someone asked the question, Mr. Mills, the question, what bracha do you make on mon? This is a major sugya. What bracha? So many mepharshim say, Hamoitzi lechanin hashanayim. Some learn that no, it all depends on your machshava. Chazal tell us that our loy chosar dovar, for 40 years you were lacking nothing. Any type of food that you wished for, that's what the mon resembled. There's a machleks in the Gemara, it was a tamon v'loy mamoshan. It did not change form. One opinion in the Gemara is tamon u mamoshan. Not only did you taste the man, you also had the appearance of the food. You wanted to have a southern fried chicken. It looked like southern fried chicken. And what bracha do you make? Well, that's a very big complicated question. You make a mezonos, you make a shahako. So the bracha, so one opinion is the bracha you make is the bracha which you tasted. Other again, that would mean if it's in bread, hamotz lachem in oretz, or you make hamotz lachem in hashemayim, or the actual food that it tastes like. Some learn you make the bracha. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, very good point, because we know that the first bracha in Birchas Hamazon, Hazan es Am Kulo B'Tavo, Moshe Rabbeinu formulated, he composed that bracha for the man. So it seems that the Birchas Hamazon that we make really was made for the man, not for bread. Hazan es Olam Kulo B'Tavo B'Chein V'Chesed Ach, doesn't say lechem in the first bracha.
You have to wash?
Did you have to wash? I guess that depends on the question. If to what extent
you have
the
to wash because it was covered with a layer of water, so it's not worse than
peros that get covered with tal. The tal is one of the seven mashes. Okay, it's an interesting point. Now, some want to learn. There is a chiddush that they did not make any bracha whatsoever. There was no bracha. Why is there no bracha? Because it's min hashamayim. The purpose of making a bracha is to take something that's mundane and to elevate it, to sanctify it. If something is purely spiritual, it's already been refined to the highest degree possible. There's nothing you can possibly do to sanctify it. It's been sanctified to its maximum. So you don't make a bracha. And they want to learn, that's what it means in the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Vayanecha Vayarivecha. When the Torah describes the man, it describes it as affliction. Hashem tortured us. Hashem afflicted us by feeding us this bread. Why is that torture? How could that be torture? It's a delicacy. It tastes like anything you can possibly want. It's delicious. The man was was sweeter, 60 times sweeter than honey.
Any
taste you want, whatever machshav, except for five things. There were five things that not the plastic, the cucumbers. When they complained, Klai Yisrael complained, Zacharnu es hadoga v'es hakishuin, the different types of melons. Those five things the man did not transform into for whatever reason, and that's what Klai Yisrael complained. These five things we don't have. We have everything we can possibly want, but we don't have the pickles. And because there are no pickles, we rather go back to Egypt to get the pickles than the man. But what does it mean when the pasuk says "Vayanicha vayariveka"? Kadosh Baruch Hu afflicted you. So some of the farshim want to learn is Hashem denied us the ability to make a bracha. What pleasure does a person really have in this world? Is the good food? A very holy person will tell you the pleasure you have in this world is being able to channel the pleasure you receive in this world towards Hashem. How do you channel that hana? You make a bracha. You serve a delicious dish, a delicious meal, and you have an opportunity to thank Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. That is the real pleasure you have in this world. If you give me food, and the food is such that I cannot make a bracha, you have denied me that pleasure, that's torture. To take and not be able to have an input, have some contribution to the product, that is torture, and that's what it means, Vayanecha, Hashem afflicted us. However, some go the other extreme. That's exactly why you do make a bracha, meaning, now this touches upon a very interesting topic, what would happen if a person would have a machshava to eat non-kosher food? Would it work? First of all, you're allowed to do so. A person has in front of him the man. The man can taste like anything you want. Your intent is you want it to taste like chazer, a cheeseburger, basa b'cholaf. I always wondered, what does it taste like? Right? You go on Avenue J, and they have that pizza store, they charge $5 a slice, and I said, I come on Shabbos. It's amazing. On Shabbos after davening, I daven in that area, I come back on Shabbos morning at about 11:30, there is literally a line around the block to get into that pizza store. That is the premier pizza store of New York City, featured in the New York Times, everyone knows. They set the price. On Avenue J, and 15th Street. J and 15th Street, they set the price. When they raised the price of a slice of pizza to $5, it was in the New York Times that all of the pizza stores in the whole New York City were tittering. If they raise the price, we're going to have to raise the price, and our customers are not going to want to pay. Because it's whatever, but always, what does that piece of pizza taste like? What is so good about that piece of pizza? So if you want, you can have a machshava, and your mon will taste like that piece of pizza. So there are two questions.
You would never know what it really tastes like.
Why not?
Because you never experienced it before.
So you had an option that whatever it tastes like, you want it to taste like. That's what it is.
Yeah, but that's only if you know what it tastes like.
No, not necessarily. Why is that so? Maybe even if, you type in onto your iPad the right food, you know, it's good enough. It will produce the proper result. So there are two questions. Number one, is a person allowed to have such a machshava?
Yes.
Number two, even if he's allowed to have a machshava, does it work? Will Hashem bring about that the man tastes like the item which is forbidden?
Yes.
So this is a debate. Let us assume that yes, it works, it does work, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world where Hashem lets you do whatever you want. Hashem lets you do whatever you want. Let's make the following assumption. Hashem lets you do whatever you want in this world. If you want your food to taste like a non-kosher piece of meat, it will work. However, it's not the right thing to do. That's forbidden. Hashem told you to eat kosher, not kosher. How dare you have a machshava to have your man, your holy man, taste like non-kosher food. If that combination of facts are correct, then there is a need to make a bracha. Because every time you eat man, you are making a decision. You are contributing to the outcome of this product. Hashem gave you raw material, and Hashem is telling you, here you have free will. You could take this raw material, and you could have a machshava to eat kosher, or you can have a machshava to eat non-kosher. The fact that you choose to eat kosher, you have expressed free will, that is a form of satisfaction. And that satisfaction is where you can channel, you can make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. I have not chosen that this piece of food should taste like non-kosher meat.
So even if it's not kosher, he makes a bracha.
Even if it's not, no, if it's not kosher, you don't make
the bracha by a priya eats because it tastes like food.
But I'm telling you now, you're not allowed to. Let's assume that the halacha is that you're not allowed to have a machshav of non-kosher food. Let's assume if you work with this approach, that it would work, and you are not allowed to do so, which is very logical, then every time you eat a piece of man, you are expressing the chiyur chavshis. Hashem is giving you an esoyon. Here you have a piece of man. You can have whatever you want. You could have every non-kosher food you want. I'm choosing not to eat non-kosher. I'm choosing to eat kosher. You are expressing your free will. That is an expression which gives a person satisfaction. That's what's called in Kabbalah, birur. You're doing selection. You're doing selection. And that selection is chal upon a bracha. You would make a bracha.
According to the Shita, you should not eat birur. To eat bacon bits, the kosher bacon bits.
Oh, so that's right. There are a lot of people that are not so happy with this idea of this make believe.
Like potato chips. That's right.
There are technically it's mutter. Okay, there are different types of people. But this is an approach. Just an idea. Okay, let's go further. Are you allowed to leave over from the month? Is it permitted to leave over from the month? So you told me absolutely not. Of course not. It says Moshe told him very clearly, you shall collect, and you're not allowed to leave over. However, there is a debate among the Achronim. You are allowed to leave over for Shabbos. For Shabbos, you have to collect on Friday double. Shabbos, Friday, you collect double the amount for Friday and for Shabbos. So when you collect on Friday, you are permitted to leave over for the next day. So here is the debate among the Achronim. Once you are already allowed to leave over for the next day, Kevan Shehutra Hutra. You're allowed already to leave over for next week, next month, to put away. No, and that's the question. When it says it got wormy, that's only the type of month that you're not allowed to leave over. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you're collecting for Bo Bayom. You're not allowed to leave over for the next day. So that month that you're not allowed to leave over, Vayorum Toloim Vayivash, it turned wormy. But Friday, you're allowed to leave over for Shabbos, so there's a Machakir in the Achronim. Once already you're allowed to leave over for Shabbos. I'm collecting Friday to leave over for Shabbos for the next day double. Once already I'm allowed to leave over for Shabbos, maybe I should already be allowed to leave over for next week. I'm making a chasna in 2 weeks. I'm having guests. I want to leave over. What?
No.
It's a failure in the
Why no?
Okay. If you hold, you could leave over.
Yes.
So you could have a Sunday, you'll eat cholent. That's left.
That's
over.
Right. In Echnami. That's right.
You can take the Sunday morning's man and you say, I want it to taste like cholent that was left over.
That's right. But it comes out that in this instance, if you are allowed to leave over, everything that you're leaving over really is Shabbos. Because the only thing you're allowed to leave over is for Shabbos. So you're having leftovers for Shabbos. The whole week round. The whole week. The Chizkuni says beferish that when they left over on Friday, it wasn't just for Shabbos. That's where he proves it from. Because how do you eat Malava Malka? Where are you going to get Malava Malka? Where are you going to get food from Malava Malka? Malava Malka already is the next day. It's already Sunday.
It was every day. Let's say someone got up 3 in the morning and he was hungry and he had some leftovers.
No, 3 in the morning, you go, 3 in the morning, so what did you do?
The new man didn't come.
You have to wait.
So you had the old man still left over. The
I don't know, I don't know. Okay, you have to look into this one. I don't know.
But there's a whole new chakira that
can
Let's say someone has a drug that gives him artificial taste.
Yeah.
You make a bracha on that or not, it would be the same achloikas.
If this flavor, you make a bracha. If you have a medicine, the medicine has a flavor, you make a bracha. You do make a bracha.
It tastes like...
If you it is flavor, like you do make a bracha.
It tastes like apples. Do you make a bracha? You don't make a bracha.
No, that's different, because that's not the real thing. That's the flavor that you make a shahakal. Okay, that's a different topic. Okay, we'll finish with a few more things.
The month was from morning to morning, so if it's the middle of the night, it was still from the day before.
Right.
But Baruch was from morning to morning, so you say that's part of Shabbos. Okay, maybe you're right. This being that it's part of Shabbos, that's not going to be left over. Because this is an interesting idea. Now, where was the mon? The mon was indeed left over. Kachts and Senesachas. There was one exception. Hashem said to Moshe, tell Aaron, Kachts and Senesachas, v'sen sham mon, ale mishmeres l'doi roisechem. You shall put away the mon as a mishmeres for all generations. When will that mon? Now that mon we know was hidden at the time of Chizkiyahu, when they hid the Aron, they hid the Luchos, all of those things. They also hid the Tzinsenes Achashalmon. When will that mon ever be eaten? So the Medrash says the Sudas Leviosan, Las Lavo. When we're going to have fish, there's going to be a Sudas Leviosan, but you have to wash. You have to have a bread meal. At the Sudas Leviosan, the Tzinsenes of mon will be brought out. And from that will be the lechem for all of Klal Yisrael. And this pasuk, what?
Do you bench on
Moshe Rabbeinu made the birchas hamazon for the man. Hazon es olam kula b'tuvo. Well, you make hamazon lechem in hashemayim, or you make no bracha, or you make whatever machshava, whatever machshava. Of course, you can bench. Hazon es olam kula b'tuvo.
But if you didn't make a bracha rishayna, if you make a bracha rishayna, you don't have.
No, that's not so. If you don't make a bracha rishayna, a person forgets to make a bracha rishayna. A bracha rishayna is only midirabanim. You forget to make a bracha. Of course, you make a bracha achrayna. And Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the birchas hazon for the man itself. Now, this pasuk is a very interesting pasuk. I never heard of this before. Maybe you've had of a person at night for a Shabbos night or any time Shabbos. If chas v'shalom, let's say, a candle from the leichter falls on the table, and it's not yet a matzav of sakana. If it's a sakana, nothing to talk about. So you put it out, or you call the fire department, whatever it is. But let's say you know it tilts. And right now, let's watch what's going to happen. So there is such a thing that you're supposed to take a... You heard this. You're supposed to take a piece of challah, and you put it on the table near the fire, the sakana, and it will be a shmira that nothing should happen. Where does it come from?
You put it on the tats, and you take out the tats.
What's the tats?
It's on the light, the sitting.
Whatever, if the fire falls down and it's a sakana, whatever it is, you take a piece of challah.
No,
that's a busis. That's Erev Shabbos. I'm talking about something.
But on Shabbos itself.
I'm not talking about, no, it's too late. No, you can't. You can't do that. Shabbos, it's too late. You can't even when Shabbos.
You have a buses on the table, but you want to take out the leichter because you
no, you're not allowed to. The tray is a buses for the leichter.
And if you put the piece of
you can't. No, no, it's too late. It has to be bossed before Shabbos. It's too late. You can't. If you put the challah on the tray before Shabbos began, yeah, then you can do it. But if you put it before, it's too late. But this is a different issue. Let's say a candle falls on the table and there's a sakana. There is a tradition. I never saw this, never heard of this. There's a tradition that you take a piece of challah and you put it near the candle that fell on the table, and that will be a shmira, because the challah that you eat Friday night is a zecher for the man. That's why we cover it with a covering above and below, just like the man was covered with towel above and below. And it says in the pasuk, kach tzin senesachas, v'sen shama meloha meman, v'hanach oso l'mishmeres. Put it near the thing, the object, which is a sakana, and it will be for you a mishmeres. So this is a tradition to take this, to take a piece of challah and do it, and be a mishmeres. At Kedach, this was such a popular tradition that some questions, Darki Hoi Moiri. Many segulas touch upon doing things which are darkei amoris, so some were not so happy with this idea. Okay, it says in the pasuk, Vayhi Bayom Hashishi. By v'loktu lechem mishneh, every time it says word vayehi, Chazal say lashon tsar. So the question is, why would it be painful if on Friday you received a double portion? And the answer is because they did nothing. A person only has hana when you work. The greatest hana you have in this world is when you work. When you earn your keep. Accomplish. So at least, the very least, the smallest amount of accomplishment that you had at least the whole week was you went out to the field and you gathered. That was also on Melus. But on Friday, you did nothing. Friday, you go out to the field and you gather just what you feel is one portion, and suddenly you have a double portion. You did absolutely nothing, no Melus to prepare for Shabbos. That's why it says, Vayehi Bayayim Hashishi. Ein Vayehi El Loshon Tsar. They had pain and they didn't have to do anything. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you want to feel accomplished for Shabbos, to take the portion that you received, you should take the portion that you have acquired, and you should make preparations, prepare it to crush it in the mortar, and to do different various forms of preparation for Shabbos. That will give you the satisfaction. Okay, now I want to tell you one other. How do they make challent? I don't know. I wanted to tell you one last idea, very interesting idea. Okay, we have Sefer Yonah. There is a fascinating Rashi in Sefer Yonah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. But this Rashi does not appear in most of the editions. Okay, the editions that I looked at do not have this Rashi, but it says that if you look in some of editions of Mikros Gedolos, you will find this Rashi. Turn to the page, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vayiman Hashem Dog Godol Levlo Es Yonah. Hashem prepared a large fish to swallow Yonah. Okay, so the word Vayiman comes from the word mon. Mon. Now let me read you what it says. Bitfusim Achodim. I'm reading you from this sefer called Oitzres Hapshat. It's sefer on Sefer Yonah. Bitfusim Achodim, in select editions of Sefer Yonah, Huva Hoysofa al Perish Rashi. There's an addition to Rashi in this pasuk, and it comes from the Misoid Meshorim. Misoid Meshorim is a very ancient Sefer. What does it say there? Shehashem Zones Hadog Mon Min Hamon Shenoisa Mimash Lo Ochlu Yisrael Ben Midbar Ki Hamon Yor Arboim Shon Chosar Tez Zayin Yamin. The Gemara says that there's, you make a calculation, not go in calculation now, that it says in the pasuk that the Bnei Israel ate the man for 40 years. So the truth was, it was not 40 years, it was 39 years and 11 months.
They had 11
months. Oh. So the Gemara is the question, but how could it be, if you make a calculation, they're 1 month short? Ugo showed, see, Mimitraim Tom Obohem Tam Man. It appears as another addition. The other addition is that they ate Man for 39 years, 11 months and 15 days. Different versions. He goes through that on the footnotes over here, which means that we're missing 15 days. So we simply understand that those extra 15 days that are missing from the calculation, Mon did not fall from Shemayim. The Medrash says, no, they did not eat, did not fall. That's the simple understanding of the Mon did not fall those 15 days. According to the Seder, according to the Mepharshim, the Mesod Meshem, it fell. Chayashon did not eat. Hashem collected it or caused it to melt, and it was fed. This is the Medrash. It was fed to the dog, this massive whale that would one day swallow Yonah. It ate all of the man that Klal Yisrael was meant to eat during those 15 days. Klal Yisrael didn't eat it because they didn't need it. They had matzah. They ate the matzah. So the man that they did not eat for those 15 days was collected and was consumed by this whale. And that's why this whale lived a supernatural life. And Yonah was able to swallow Yonah. And Yonah was not interested in digesting Yonah. I'm reading what it says here. Normally you have food and you have a person in your stomach. You'll digest him. You'll swallow him up. Yonah was not digested because the whale was satisfied from the man. And not only that, Yonah also was able to eat some leftovers inside for him.
Scraped
off some man inside. A very bizarre medrash. What?
With the other vayaman at the end.
So in Echanam, he says, the Rashi goes on, you have to see the whole Rashi inside. He says, and it says in the Pasuk four times, it says four times in Sefer Yonah, vayaman. Four times. The last one is vayahak, the kikoyon. The kikoyon. And the medrash says, this teaches us, unbelievable medrash, that Yonah ate four measures of man. And then he goes on to say, what's the kikoyon? The kikoyon means some type of tree, some type of willow tree that provides a lot of shade. He says the kikoyon really refers to man. What's kikoyon? Kikoyon in Yavon, kikoyon is kick Yavon. Kick or cook, that's why we started today. There is a mitzias in the world called man. And in Greek, this food that falls from heaven that you can scrape off the rocks is called kuka or called kick. So kikoyonos kick Yavon. It's mon in Greek. Hashem prepared for Yonah vayiman. Hashem prepared for Yonah mon. Now, what does all of this mean? So I think there's something very deep here. We read this on Yom Kippur. Mon was called vayanecha. Hashem afflicted us. What is the message of Sefer Yonah? There's a very deep message here. What is the message of Sefer Yonah? The very end of Sefer Yonah. Yonah tells Nineveh do tshuva. That's not the message. So Yonah, I'm not telling them do tshuva. I don't want to tell them. I'm not interested. No, I'm going to force you to tell them. So it's forced. He tells them Hashem's going to destroy the tshuva. And they listen to the tshuva. They put on sackcloth. They do tshuva. Hashem's, look at this. They did tshuva. Yonah says, Hashem, I want to die. I knew they would do tshuva. I don't want them to do tshuva because it's not fair. They're going to do tshuva. It'll be a kitrik for Klal Yisrael, whatever it is. So Hashem says to Yonah, That's not even really important. That's great. Tshuva, fine. Tshuva. That's not the main message of Yonah. Hashem's, Yonah, sit down. He sits down. It's a boiling hot day. It's 100 degrees. Can you imagine? You're going to, today is the coldest day of the year. Gimel, today is the day of Parshas Haman. And we're going to learn from the Rashi in Sefer Yonah about the man, the kikoyon, the hottest day in existence. Yonah's about to die. This kikoyon comes and shelters him from the heat. What happens? What a machaya. He's living it up. The next day, a little worm comes and destroys the kikoyon. The kikoyon dies. The kikoyon is dead. And Yon is now burning in the sun. And he says to Hashem, I want to die. Hashem says to Yon, but yesterday you were so happy. You had the kikoyon. Today it's gone. So Hashem says, Yonah, this is the last words of Yon. Yon, did you work for the kikoyon? Did you lift your finger to have a kikoyon? No, easy come, easy go. You sat down, there was the kikoyon, it provided you with shelter, and now it was taken away from you in one day, and now you have nothing. And you have such tsar that you're willing to give up your life, you're willing to die. So Hashem says, Al achas kam of a kam, look at a whole city of Nineveh. People, human beings, women, children, animals, look how much effort, kaviyochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I put into creating them. Don't you think I have tsar over their destruction? Okay, I'm really being mikatsa very much. But if you, Yonah, there's a kal v'chomer, you have so much tsar over something you didn't lift your finger for, and it's here today and gone tomorrow, you want to give up your life, how much tsar do you think I have over a whole city of men, women, children, that are just going to perish because of their sins? I want them to do tshuva, and they should live. So what do we learn from this? The whole, and all of this is wrapped up in the kikoyon, which is kick in Yavon, is mon, vayiman, yon is saved by mon. That's the message of mon. The message of mon is vayancha. Hashem tortured us. What was the torture? You know what the torture was? Vayorum toilin vayivash. We have something so delicious, so precious. We can, and tomorrow it's gone. we have to start all over again. Do we work for it? Do we lift our finger to acquire? Nothing. Hashem gave it to us. Hashem, the Musar has this, al achas kam v'kama, we, and it's a reminder for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should appreciate things that we've worked for. Where else does it say v'yancha? Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'avodim v'inu osam arba meo shana. We were in Egypt for how many years? 10 times 40. One, they had 40 years. Egypt, we had inui, the real inui, for 400 years. That inui was the core harbarazel that purified us to become the Am HaNifchar. So don't you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tsar over the churban of Klal Yisrael? The Klal Yisrael is in Golus. Hashem purified Klal Yisrael for 400 years with inui gadol, v'avodim v'inui oisam arba me'oshana. Don't you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tsar and wants to see Klal Yisrael prosper? If Madach, when it comes to the Mon, we have the Tsar. We have Tsar in that easy come, easy go. Just like Yonah, the Kikoyon, easy come, easy go. Alachas, the Mon is a reminder. Alachas kam v'kama, how much Tsar HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over the fact that we are in Golos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu nurtured us for 400 years to become the Am HaNivchar. And how much Tsar we have to have over ourselves. That's the message of Mon. So the Mon is nothing more than a Kal V'Chomer, a start of a Kal V'Chomer to learn from Yonah. And it's also very interesting how Yonah is all about heat. And today, the day of Parshas Mon, is the coldest day of the year.